Go and away we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Hey, this is day three of the RNC. I think we've been doing awesome coverage of the RNC for the past couple of days. I want to welcome you. We're going to see if we can get at the 45 minute mark. If Mike Crispy is available, he'll be able to punch in. I will let you know as we get closer, but if he doesn't make it, we got a power pack show for you on this Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. 110 days until we put a, excuse the expression, put a bullet in communism, right? What's that called? Rhetoric, you know? Can't say bullseye, of course. Not when it applies to them, but we know what they mean when they say it, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? So welcome to the show. Tell me if you're okay, Mr. Board Switcher. Did that work? No. Okay. No. You're unplug the USB, plug it back in. That's what you want to do. Yeah, quit, restart. There you go. All right. So we'll be okay. I'll actually have to provide some backup coverage. All right. I'm going to leave this on. You want to shut that down altogether, unplug it, the USB, and then, it's working. Okay, good. Yep. There you go. Sometimes just requires a kick in the pants, right? All right. This morning, I played an epic video. Of a conversation was recorded. RFK Jr. put it up. If you didn't catch it on LFA TV, if you didn't catch our morning show, it's the best morning show. I'm telling you, it kicks off at 8 a.m. all the way to 11 a.m. Eastern. You can catch it on our Rumble channel. We're on Sprilly TV. We're on 15 different platforms. Whatever platform you're most comfortable with. Our morning show is absolutely smoke. We're on Worldview Tube, Worldview Radio. Best way to find us if you're on Rumble right now is just subscribe to our channel or go to PeteSantilli.mobi to find all of our links. We're widely distributed. And like I said, Power Pack Show. And here it is. I'm going to give this to you. Now, today, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to really focus, zone in on the sloped roof brigade known as the Secret Service. But for right now, let's listen to President Donald J. Trump on, go ahead and leave it full screen because I do have the subtitles. I want everybody to see them just in case they can't capture the audio perfectly. And let's go to that right now. Go. Take it away, Sam.
And something's wrong with that whole system. And, You know, as a doctor, she thought. Remember, I said, I want to do small doses. Small doses. When you feed a baby, Robbie, a vaccination that is like 38 different vaccines, and it looks like it's meant for a horse, not a, you know, 10-pound or 20-pound baby. It looks like you should be giving a horse this. And do you ever see the size of it, right? You know, it's this massive. And then you see the baby all of a sudden starting to change radically. I've seen it too many times. And then you hear that it doesn't have an impact, right? But you and I talked about that a long time ago. And anyway, I would love you to do something. And I think it would be so good for you and so big for you. And we're going to win. We're going to win. You know, we're way ahead of the guy. And, you know, he's interesting. It was very nice, actually. He called me. And he said, how did you choose to move to the right? Because, you know, so I guess that's, people see it. You know, if I was looking straight on, right? He said, I said, I was just showing a chart. I didn't have to tell him the chart was on all the people pouring into our country. Right? But I just turned my head to show the chart. And something wrapped me. It felt like a giant, like the world's largest mosquito. And it was a bullet going around. You know,
did you see that mosquito?
AR-15 or something. That's a big gun.
Yeah, look at that mosquito.
Pretty tough guns, right?
Yeah. Did you guys see that mosquito? AR-15, big guns. Yeah, there you go. President Trump in his own way. It's kind of cool. I like it. You know what? Listen, let's have some fun with it, I guess. I don't know. The issues are pretty serious. They are very serious. Matter of fact, speaking of leaked recordings, let's bring you one more, and you can frame this up if you want. I want you to listen closely to this leaked audio recording. We have, ladies and gentlemen, yet another sloped roof incident. Got here. What is that? That. All right. Fantastic. There we go. All right, we have a sloped roof incident leaked here. Secret Service, here we go.
The following is a recording of radio traffic during a U.S. Secret Service sloped roof incident in Anytown, USA.
Command post to Ugly Duckling. Come in.
Go for Ugly Duckling. Come in, command post.
Ugly Duckling, be advised. Owl 2 has been unreachable on their radio. Looks like they're watching YouTube videos on their new rifle scopes. Can you 1025 code 3 to their location and advise them that we have been observing a suspicious subject on the slope roof just outside our Pac-Man?
Stand by, command post. I'm still trying to find my Glock. Looks like I need to skip a few visits to the Popeye's chicken. Dang, I can't even see past my spare tire. I'll advise you when I encode 4.
10-4, Ugly Duckling. Be advised. The Eagle has landed and is on stage. We still can't reach Barney Fife on the radio. They are in the restroom inside the slope roof building.
They're in the restroom.
Copy that, command post. I finally found the dang hole to my holster. I en route. My ETA is approximately 4 or 5 minutes. Be patient. My little nubby girl legs can only go so fast.
Yeah. My nubby little DEI legs can only go so fast, ladies and gentlemen. But we still fight anyway. Fight! Fight! Let's go. We're fighting, aren't we? Did you guys like that? We had another sloped roof incident. Now, let's get serious. Weird stuff going on there. They better call these bastardos that have been... the DEI chick with the short, nubby legs, and I can't get the, you know, I can't see my holster, which is stupid, too, for those of you that know what I'm talking about. You should not be looking at your holster if you're in law enforcement. You should be in and out without any hesitation whatsoever. You know, let's get another quick laugh. We have a very, very serious subject today. This is very serious. We're going to get to it. Let's just laugh for right now, and then we're going to shift gears, and I'm going to go to something very serious here momentarily. A terrorist attack in America is imminent. Okay, is imminent. High level source has indicated so. Let's stay on this topic, and then we'll get to it, and we'll go to Mike Crispy. But if you haven't seen this video, it's a Black American comedian, and he's got it absolutely right.
I'll see you, President. Well, the nigga that's running, not Trump. He got shot, dog. They shot him. This nigga done been shot, saying I'm with the dead, he's a damn people.
Is this still
this nigga my uncle? Who the f***? Who the hell? He's black. He's officially black now, bro. This is beautiful. They shot him. They shot him. He was like, yeah, I'm having a fight. He was fine. He was doing like this and walked out with an American flag on him. Like this. He put one in. Like, I'm a real nigga. Fuck, nigga, I'm out of here. That's hard, bro. I wasn't even finna vote. I'm voting now, dog. He got it. He won. I wasn't even finna vote. I had no skin in the game. I like, that nigga got shot. He won. Fuck the bull. That's, he had real ops. Nigga, what the f***? Joe Biden's biggest op is the stairs. That's it. He had real ops. Somebody really tried to, listen, that's how you know he a real nigga, bro. Joe Biden has been trying to kill himself his whole presidency. So nobody had to kill this nigga. Nobody had to try to kill Trump, and is just ready to go his whole time. You know, we got to f***ing off his ass and miss. And just get this ear and miss. That's crazy, bro. Hey, Mexican nigga, you f*** with Trump? Yeah. Hell yeah, that was good. Huh? You say amen? He not God, nigga. What the f***? That was crazy.
He's not God, but I'll tell you what, he's certainly protected by God. Let me show this to you. Again, full screen on this one. Full screen, because you want to see this. This is remarkable. Clip number 6. Here we go. Watch
Take
this.
A look what happened.
Look at that. Look at that. That's exactly what happened. That's forensic analysis of that bullet passing by President Trump's ear. Boom. Hits him there. Second shot. Close by. Boom, boom. Unbelievable. Now, just to give you some perspective here, watch this, okay? This is a 5.56 round versus a human head. This gelatinous material is the same exact consistency of human flesh. Okay? Watch what could have happened. Watch this. Look at this. Now, I've participated way back in the day on ballistics tests like this. Look at that. That's a 5.56 NATO round. Would have obliterated. Oh, can you imagine, you guys? Can you imagine that?
Definitely save the GoPro this time.
My God. Look at that. That's the exit wound.
No, oh, I'm sorry, entrance. Dead center. Look, that's where the bullet came out right there. That's a fast moving round. Great crunches.
Oh. Wow. Wow. Again.
Take a look what happened.
Look at that. Look at that. Boom. Holy cow. Let's dig deeper. Let's dig deeper.
It's the 13th of July in Butler, Pennsylvania. Former U.S. President Donald Trump speaks at a rally. It's only days until he plans to accept the official Republican nomination. He's just minutes into his speech when shots are fired.
Take a look at what happened.
Trump got hit, but survived. Someone tried to assassinate him in broad daylight. Here is how it unfolded. By the time this video is published, new details might have emerged. It's a hot, sweltering early evening as tens of thousands gather here to see Trump. Pennsylvania is one of six vital swing states that will help secure the win in the next presidential election. Butler skews heavily Republican, and it is a blue-collar town.
This is a big crowd. This is a big, big, beautiful crowd.
He is surrounded by supporters. Most are sitting or standing in front of the stage. Some sit on the bleachers, center, left, and right. Trump support staff and security, including Secret Service agents, are right at the stage. Behind him are three large buildings. On the roof of the building on the far left and on the far right are Secret Service snipers. They are constantly scanning the surroundings, looking for threats. They can be seen in this video filmed by a crowd member.
Hello, Butler, and hello to Pennsylvania. I'm thrilled to be back.
Trump begins with his speech. Things seem normal. He turns to the right and points at a chart showing statistics on border crossings. At the same time, several people in the crowd notice a man with a gun on the roof of a building close by.
He's got a gun!
It's too late.
Take a look what happened.
All of a sudden, bullets start flying. One even gets captured on camera. Another building, about 400 feet or 120 meters north of the stage. The shots are coming from here, on the roof. The gunman is 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks. He is armed with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. The gun was legally purchased by his father. First, he apparently fires a round of three shots.
Take a look at what happened.
Trump reaches up with his hand. The first bullet pierces the upper part of his right ear. He will later say that turning over to the right at that exact moment prevented the bullet from hitting him right in the head. He ducks down behind the podium, and within 3 to 4 seconds after the first shot, Secret Service agents swarm the former president and shield him with their bodies. Crooks opens fire again, immediately, with 5 more shots. Right before the first shot by Crooks, one of the snipers on the left roof behind Trump seems to detect the gunman and prepares to return fire.
Take a look at what happened.
Some outlets report that these snipers killed Crooks, while the Secret Service confirmed its personnel neutralized the shooter. We could not corroborate that it was in fact these specific agents. The gunman also hit spectators on the bleachers. One man died, 50-year-old Corey Comprador. Two others were critically injured. With Trump's microphone still on, we can hear the tense exchanges among the agents. About 42 seconds after Crooks opened fire, they confirm the shooter is down.
Are we good? Shooter's down. Are we good to move?
Clear. Let's go.
Clear. 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 Clear.
They prepare to escort him to an armored vehicle.
Let me get my shoes.
Hold on, your head is bloody.
So we gotta go move to the bus.
Wait.
In about 75 seconds after ducking to the ground, Trump raises his fist. He is mouthing the words, fight, fight, fight. The resulting photos immediately travel around the entire world. The crowd starts to chant for the former president as he leaves the stage, bleeding. Trump is then rushed to a hospital. Later that night, he is flown to New Jersey. He appears to be well. There are a lot of questions we don't have an answer to right now. Why were the forces unable to prevent the attack? Analysis on X suggests that at least the snipers on the roof behind Trump were likely scouting for dangers further away, with this rooftop possibly falling into the responsibility of other law enforcement agents. We were unable to corroborate that. Why couldn't armed men climb up on this building? What was Crooks' motive? The gunman had no criminal history in Pennsylvania's public court records. The New York Times found a voter registration record for Crooks It shows that he was registered as a Republican. They also found that he donated $15 to a liberal voter turnout group through a Democratic donation platform in 2021. He was a kitchen worker and had a membership at a local shooting club. The FBI found suspicious devices in both his car and home. They are being evaluated by the agency at the time of this recording. The investigation is ongoing, and new information is being published by the minute. President Biden and various leaders around the world condemn the attack and political violence at large. The picture of Trump, bloodied but defiant, with a raised fist in front of the American flag, will surely become a powerful symbol in his re-election campaign.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thought that was a great piece. All right. We're not going to stop. As far as it being staged, let's stick to the facts. Let's go over the facts, if we could, please. Don't just make stuff up like the bird brains do over at Telegram. All right. We are so, so lucky. Now, we have exclusive footage here provided to Fox News of the Keystone cops after the shots were fired. This is absolutely ridiculous. Look at this. Watch this. You're gonna have to lift that audio, I think.
He didn't like you meeting.
I don't know why that's doing that, but it's okay. There they are. Keystone cops crawling under the fence. I'm glad nobody's dying. You know, I don't want President Trump picking on the cops. Okay, I will, though. Sorry. All they have, they're all dressed up. They got all their equipment, their radios, their guns, and they're a bunch of freaking dinglings. Bunch of dinglings, ladies and gentlemen.
Very existence and character, Berlin remains the most compelling argument for an open world. We're reminded of the many traditions of openness and democracy that have marked the history of this city. America, missed me.
Missed me. That's hilarious. That was hilarious, wasn't it? My commander-in-chief, Ronald Reagan. Right, let's continue on.
Incredible moment in American history to watch this all play out. I mean, I think the top headline of this all is that the parasite is looking for a new host body. You have this blob class in the DC power structure, this foreign policy establishment that spans our war industry, our instruments of statecraft, and our intelligence community. These are the keeper of our national secrets and of our American empire. And Joe Biden has been a faithful servant for over 40 years to that blob class. In fact, if you go back and look at the contemporaneous headlines of Joe Biden running for president, the mainstream media referred to his run for presidency in 2020 as the revenge of the blob. And what you see right now is, I think, this incredible moment of weakness of Joe Biden, where the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the weekend at Bernie's presidency, the sort of Boris Yeltsin, old, stumbling, frail, all of these things which are hidden essentially from mainstream access, although were very evident to anyone with eyes and ears who's paying attention on places like X or Rumble, have now all broken open, and it has put Trump way ahead in the polls, even in extremely left-wing polls, even in CNN. You know, they are reading these things where Trump is up 6 points and the general is up in all seven swing states by huge margins. And you're seeing this collapse of the perceived victory potential of Biden on the basis of votes. And so because of that, you have this huge structure within the Democrat Party clamoring for a new presidential candidate, because they perceive that Biden will lose on the basis of votes. And what I've been pointing out all week is the very strange silence of the intelligence community on an issue of grave concern, you would think, to national security. That is, the commander-in-chief cannot keep his eyes open past 4 p.m. And when the clock strikes about 9 or 10 p.m., he turns into effectively a total vegetable. He's having to take afternoon naps, that are only really approximated by people in old age homes or people below the grade of kindergarten. And so because of this, you know, national security's emergencies happen every week. In some country, somewhere, there are issues of grave concerns to the CIA, to the Pentagon, to the State Department, and to our whole National Security Council interagency process that require the president to be cogent to make a decision to either green light something or to veto it. And Joe Biden, who is dubbed Mr. Foreign Policy in his rise to the presidency by the Council on Foreign Relations, who spent 40 years at the top of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. So, I mean, his stretch in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee goes so far back that he actually blocked Jimmy Carter's CIA director nominee back in 1977. That's how far back Joe Biden goes with his role with the blob. You know, he, of course, became the senator at the age of 29 years old. So he has had this long trust of the blob. He has had this favors for favors relationship, and he has been their man in Washington. He has been the perfect vassal host body for them for now literally half of a century, from 29 until now 81. And the issue is they need another host body who is as pliant, who will green light everything. And the issue is there are not that many great people in the Democrat Party to pick from. The Democrat Party has a lot of folks who are focused on domestic priorities, who are focused on things like DEI and CRT, and who are not as, or climate, and who are simply not as well versed in the secrets of the American empire, what we're doing to seize Eurasia from Russia, what we're doing with all of our interventions around the world, all of the cloak and dagger work that the CIA does. Now, Kamala Harris was on the Senate Intelligence Committee. And if you go to my X feed at Mike Ben Cyber, you'll see near the top of it, I posted news articles that showed bipartisan support from both the DNC and the GOP wings of the Senate Intelligence Committee for Kamala Harris. Now, the Senate Intelligence Committee is oversight of the CIA. But the fact is she was very green. She was like Barack Obama, who was a junior senator when he ran for president. But between his own past with his own family's strange relationships to CIA cutouts like USAID and the Ford Foundation and others through his mother, and the diplomacy role of his father and things like this.
Yeah.
He was still very green. He was only, a couple of years into Congress when he ran for president. And it's a very similar thing with Kamala Harris. So I think that if Harris is going to be the pick, they're going to need a Biden-like figure to be the kind of shadow president, as Joe Biden was for Barack Obama on all things foreign policy for those 8 years. And the issue is outside of Hillary Clinton, it's hard to think of anyone in the Democrat Party who really is as versed in the dark, deep secrets of the American empire.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Benz, nailing it. What kind of truth is that? Whoa, that was a heavy bunch of bombs he dropped there, didn't he? Wow. Okay. I've got one more report here, then we're going to turn the corner. Then hopefully get Mike Crispy on from the floor of the convention. All right. A little bit of information on the shooters.
So is Durant
family member. Let's see. Here we go. go with it.
Attention obsessed, never Trumpers insist that Donald Trump is this terrifying narcissist who wants to be some mad dictator and end democracy as we know it. Except, of course, he doesn't.
For some people, the ultimate goal in life has been becoming the president of the United States. Would you like to be the president of the United States?
I really don't believe I would, Ron, but I would like to see somebody as the president who could do the job, and there are very capable people in this country.
Most people who are capable are not running for office. Most men are frightened of politics today.
It is a shame, isn't it?
Yes.
It is a shame. The most capable people are not necessarily running for political office, and that is a very...
Listen to what he says about Biden.
Had commentary on the country. They had major corporations and they had this and that, but they are not running for political office.
Yes, scary, scary Donald Trump. Worse than Hitler, they call him, an ogre, a monster, a fascist, a white supremacist, a racist, except, of course, he is.
Why wouldn't someone like yourself run for political office? You have all the money that you possibly need. You've accomplished a great deal, even though you are only 34. I know there's a lot of things that you possibly can do in the years ahead. Why wouldn't you dedicate yourself to public service?
Because I think it's a very mean life. I would love and I would dedicate my life to this country, but I see it as being a mean life. And I also see it as somebody with strong views and somebody with the kind of views that are maybe a little bit unpopular, which may be right, but maybe unpopular, wouldn't necessarily have a chance of getting elected against somebody with no great brain but a big smile. And that's a sad commentary for the political process.
No great brain, but a big smile. How on earth? Way back in 1980, did young Donald Trump know he'd be running against this man? Talk about being prescient.
A great gifted clairvoyance.
Television, in a strange way, has ruined that process, hasn't it?
It's hurt the process very much. I mean, the Abraham Lincolns of the world. Abraham Lincoln would probably not be electable today because of television. He was not a handsome man, and he did not smile.
Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and Donald Trump. They're my top three. What are yours?
All right, listen to this. I did it the other way around. One more clip here. Watch this. I think... Here it is, Hagman. Come on, Hagman. Huh? Oh, is it messed up? It messed up. That's okay. I love keeping Reagan on the screen, by the way. Love that. My commander-in-chief. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's our top news headline. It's a serious one. Buckle up, okay? I don't just come slamming into the show with bad news, okay? We've had a little bit of fun with the clips that we prepared. We're, of course, going to take the matter very seriously as to how we investigate the entire timeline and do our best to hold the powers that be accountable for acting like a bunch of Keystone cops. That's what they are, folks. Bunch of Keystone cops. All right. Sean Ryan, probably ranked among the top three podcasters in the world. He's a former CIA agent, contractor, very well connected, one of the top, most reputable CIA guys. Thank you, Freedom Foxtrot, with a $5 Rumble Rant supporting LFA. It's a way to do it. You can drop your $5 rants. You can drop your $1 rants. We all do it. When we get 1,000 people rotating in and out, that's a lot of money. You support us. Now, of course, we're not mainstream media. We're not brought to you by Pfizer. We're brought to you by We the People. You should feel confident. We're going to turn the corner. We're going to win this thing. But it's only going to happen if you snap out of the stupor that they have you in, where they have you just sitting there as a consumer, sucking up the billions of dollars in ads that run to, you know, to Mark Zuckerbuck, right? You can go to jeremyharrell.com to support us.
Build a wall, build a wall, 10 feet, 20 feet, 100 feet tall. Build a wall, build a wall, 10 feet, 20 feet, 100 feet tall. Since the minute he became a candidate in 15, I was intrigued and curious just like I was a teen. I knew that he was gonna go and build himself a team. Got a first class ticket to get on the Trump train, putting up videos on the book and on the...
Seven. Open up seven, sorry. I figured out.
Again, but back to the
there we go. I
Donald
figured
Trump's
it out.
Are hard to beat. Listen for a minute, man. It really ain't too hard to see. America's a part of me. Inherit with camaraderie. Apparently, the
get your LFA gear by going to jeremyharrell.com. You can also make a direct contribution if you have the means to do it. Great way to support us. Great way to support us. Jeremyharrell.com, Rumble Rants, jeremyharrell.com, direct donations, and we will bring you the truth. Okay. Oh, look at that. Clee Sully with a $200 Rumble Rant. Look at that. That's what I'm talking about, folks. It is so vitally essential that you do whatever you can. Push past it. Imagine, I'm going to use the term again. I'd rather have a million people with a $1 bill. Imagine, what is that worth? $1 million, right? So if Cynthia, look at that. Keep up the great work. Boom. Feel the optimism. Feel confident. We're going to make America wealthy again. All right. We the people. Can you imagine? It's almost criminal what they do in the mainstream media. But Mike, $200 Rumble Rant. And I want to thank Clee Sully, $200. $5 from Cynthia, 1126. Keep up the great work. Freedom Foxtrot, $5. Thank you. Rico, $5 for me and four others. He knows what it's about. $1. Imagine, we get 1,000 people rotating in and out. Everybody drops a... Can you imagine? $1,000. $1 bill. But you cannot... Be under the fog of hypnotism, sitting there consuming their ads and their propaganda brought to you by Pfizer. All right. Here we are. LFA, great, great network. The best lineup in all of independent media. Now, there can be no doubt about it. So thank you very much for all of your support. Please continue to do it. Okay. Please continue to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, now to our top news headline. And then Mike Crispy, it looks like he's going to be joining me here when he punches in. He's going to get to an area that he'll be able to broadcast from. Let's go to this special report right now. And I say a special report. Sean Ryan, one of the top three podcasters, most credible. He's meeting with one of the top Afghanistan leaders there. Listen. Go to it.
This is all hell. This is the first world stage type interview I've ever done. And it's going to probably expose a lot of lies that the U.S. government has been telling Americans and the people of the world. And I can't believe this is where I'm at. But I'm excited. I'm nervous. I hope to God I don't f*** this up because it's important. And I don't even know why I'm doing this. I'm just recording my thoughts. But very surreal to be in this position.
You got that?
It's a lot of responsibility. But here we go.
You guys, this is the most serious
Commander
broadcast
Massoud,
right here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's an honor to have you here.
Thank and you. Pleasure's all mine.
We've been trying to piece this together for several months now, and I just kicking it off. I want to say thank you to Legend for setting this all up, because without him, it wouldn't have happened. And I personally believe this is the most important interview that I've ever done. And I'm really excited to get started.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And thank you so much for having me. And of course, thanks. To
National Resistance Front of Afghanistan. All right. Now, listen, I'm going to have to pop around because if Mike Crispy.
Me too.
If Mike Crispy joins me, we're gonna have to cut away. So I want to make sure I get to it. This is the most serious information to broadcast probably over a lifetime right here.
And managed to withstand against the might of global terrorism. And he managed to bring unity.
Talking about his dad.
Against such sort of, was the first suicide attack in the history of Afghanistan.
Wow.
Assassinated 2 days before 9/11.
Prepared to it. Because we never knew such heinous attack can happen. We never had experience of
it. It came to my attention before this interview that your father actually warned of imminent attacks on U.S. soil prior to his assassination, which, to my understanding, fell on deaf ears. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now you're here 20-something years later.
Same deaf ears.
Warning America that there's another coming attack. Is that falling on deaf ears as well?
Unfortunately, yes. It's like history repeats itself. And we all know where Ayman al-Zawahiri was hiding. And we all know what Saif al-Ad, the leader of al-Qaeda, has been called his fellow friends and colleagues to come, which he said he clearly indicated. And he said, all of you come to Afghanistan. Now Afghanistan is a safe haven for us. And we cannot ignore in the latest incident, very sort of scary incident that happened in America, that from the southern border, many terrorists, they went inside United States and luckily they got captured. Imagine if they were a bit too late, what would happen?
Well, my concern is it's only 8 has been captured. Do you have any estimation on how many may have already entered the U.S. and continue? Listen up, because you're all going to want to pay attention to this. Pre-9/11, the U.S. was given several warnings by a man named Ahmad Massoud, leader, commander of the Afghan National Resistance Front. Those warnings stated that there was an imminent terrorist attack that was going to happen on U.S. soil. And his warnings were completely ignored by the administration at the time. And we all know how that ended. It ended with the World Trade Center falling to the ground, killing thousands and thousands of Americans, putting us in a 20-plus year war. Now, Massoud was assassinated 2 days before 9/11. And he's survived by his son, also Ahmad Massoud, who's following in a parallel pattern of his father's footsteps, also now the leader of the Afghan National Resistance Front. And Massoud is once again warning the United States that there is an imminent threat for a terrorist attack to take place once again right here on U.S. soil. And once again, his warnings are falling on deaf ears and being completely ignored. In fact, as DC tries to cover up the way the Afghan withdrawal happened, they've blacklisted him from coming to the U.S. And so SRS has taken action. We've created a petition. The link is below in the description. And I urge every veteran who fought in the global war on terrorism to sign that petition. And if you have a family member who fought in that war, sign the petition. And if you're a citizen who's concerned what Massoud is telling us is actually true and there is an imminent threat to the U.S. that there will be a terrorist attack, I urge you to sign the petition. We're going to get the petition to Representative McCaul.
We will do that. So we're getting that message. And now we're going to cut to live right now on the button. Thank you, Mike Crispy. He's got a busy schedule there on the ground. We're now in day three. We've been covering it extensively, and he's there on the ground. Last night, there were epic moments, Mike Crispy, epic moments. That, you know, I'm looking at it electronically. You were in the room, sir, for those epic speeches, one after the other. Thank you for joining me. Talk, just speak to that. I want you to speak to our listening audience. This is a historic convention.
Pete, good to have you on. Good to see you. My fellow Paisan.
Yes, sir.
You ought to be a Paisan for me to join you live on the side of the road here in Milwaukee. But listen, we're in the perimeter. It's wonderfully fortified. Shout out to the Secret Service for doing an amazing job here today. Everything is very secure. We feel very safe here, first and foremost. Second thing is, I just want to say, I've been covering President Trump since 2015. And this was the first time on the first night of the convention, Pete, when I saw President Trump get visibly emotional. It was a human element that, again, I've never seen. He's always had an about face. He's always been very strong and resilient because they're always attacking him, and he needs to maintain that image. But for the first time ever, I think kind of the weight of the moment of him seeing the people, you know, beating that assassination attempt, God literally stepping in and sparing his life because, you know, God's not done with President Trump. That was kind of the theme of last night's speeches. Laura Trump said that. Dr. Ben Carson said that, and others. So I think that is kind of weighing on President Trump right now. And that's why I think that when he gives the speech on Thursday, Pete, I think it's going to be one of the most historic speeches in United States history because,
no doubt,
think about it. President Trump is always, you know, given the message of, you know, this is how we're going to save the country. We're in tough times. I'm your, you know, your leader through battle. But now he kind of has a different perspective on it. He has just another layer of it. The man literally has put his life on the line and came within millimeters of dying. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think overall, you know, people in the crowd are happy about J.D. Vance. A lot of, you know, there was a lot of like, you know, collective breath holding that, you know, people didn't want Tim Scott. They didn't want Doug Burgum. So I think President Trump picked the person that most importantly, the base resonates with. Because you remember this, Pete, President Trump got into the White House in 2016 thanks to the great folks in the Rust Belt. I'm talking the hardworking for God men and women, the white working class of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and, you know, Ohio, all these states. So J.D. Vance embodies that. J.D. Vance represents that. And he's very good at telling that story. So I was pleased with President Trump's pick. I've been watching him from the floor of where he's sitting. And I'm watching him take it in. It's really special, Pete. And I can't wait to hear from J.D. Vance. And I can't wait to hear from President Trump tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. And on the front doorstep of J.D. Vance's presentation, I just want to interject one thing. Listen, I'm in Ohio. J.D. Vance is home. When he departed for the convention, he's 8 miles from where I'm sitting right now in a beautiful house in a nice area in Cincinnati, right? But when he ran for Senate, I revolted. He's a rhino, blah, blah, blah. The J.D. Vance that you think he might be because he's Yale, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? I suggest everybody go look up J.D. Vance and the interview that he did with Megyn Kelly when she was with NBC. And if I had seen that interview, I would never have done what I did in revolting when he ran for Senate. And that will give you an indication of why he's going to be, why he became MAGA and America First. And you guys will love it. I made a mistake when I revolted against him. And I want everybody to get to know him because now for 3 years, he's governed MAGA and America First.
Yes.
Right? He's proven it up.
Yeah, Pete, I think you're totally right. I mean, I think you totally, you know, are right to have your, you know, your doubts at the beginning. I mean, you know, like you, me, we've been loyal to President Trump since the beginning. And obviously, J.D. Vance, you know, had his, you know, anti-Trump remarks of the past. But I think right now, anybody who's serious about the future of this country, anybody who's serious about the MAGA message, you know, being carried into the future, look at his record. Look at what he's done. When he got it, he's gotten it. And I always say this, there's rhetoric and then there's actions. In the 3 years in the Senate, his record is MAGA. His message to the public has been MAGA. His appearances on Tucker and the way that he has, you know, fought back against the left-wing media has been MAGA. So he's 39 years old. It was the same year, I believe our good friend Roger Stone pointed this out. It was the same year that Richard Nixon had ascended as a vice presidential candidate. So there's some history there. People are saying he's the first young Republican, technically young Republican, under 40 to be nominated in over 70 years. So people are excited about that because you got Joe Biden, who's 82. Then you have President Trump, who's, you know, a little bit older, but, you know, obviously youthful, but a little bit older. And then you see J.D. Vance, and you see sharp, competent, and America first. So he's going to dispose of Kamala, and the public is going to, I think, really resonate. When I say the public, I mean the people we need, those swing voters in those Rust Belt states, Pete. So it's been amazing energy here, and it's really just an amazing experience being a part of history. It's a blessing and an honor to be on the floor and witness all this.
You know, Mike, I want to, and we have, you have a couple more minutes. Just let me know if you have to go, but,
Two minutes.
Okay. Listen, I'll be listening tonight for JD Vance, because guess what, folks? This is a great succession plan. We need to worry about not just the next 4 years. What are we going to be doing for the next 10 to 20 years? And a great succession plan. I'll be listening for that stepping stone to carrying the torch after President Trump's gone. President Trump, you know, Ben Carson said it best, and I wrote it down. I have it right here. Number one, they tried to ruin his reputation. He's more famous than ever. They tried to bankrupt him. He's richer than ever. They tried to put him in prison. Right? And guess what? They tried to kill him. And he said, there he is right there, alive and well. And President Trump has to recognize that God's working through him. He's taken a knee, isn't he?
Yes, this is God's plan. I always said this, God saved President Trump, and President Trump is going to save this country once and for all. That's how I look at it. Ben Carson was great. Ben Carson, I thought, gave the best speech of the night. He was so on point. The crowd loved it. I think he's going to do a great job in the cabinet for President Trump again. So he was my favorite speech of the night, was Ben Carson. And obviously, Laura Trump, you know, gave a great account. Let me tell you something, Pete. The RNC, I've been talking to a lot of people here. I was here last week with the Rules Committee. The RNC has gone an absolute ship. Paul Ryan's not here. George Bush is in here. Mike Pence is in here. The RNC is in the hands of new people, okay? All the people who are working for the RNC that I've met over the last couple of days this past week, you know, these people are in tune with the Trump campaign. It's not like 2016 where it was adversarial. So I think people could take, you know, some comfort in the fact that the RNC is turning over. Laura Trump's doing a great job. She's strong. Everyone, you know, obviously reveres her in here. And we're on the right path. It's a party being taken over by the MAGA wing, Pete. So I appreciate you having me on. And tomorrow, maybe I can come on for a little bit longer. But
That'd be great. Listen, and by the way, after you're done, I want to come back and just do a recap. I'm following every second of it. And ladies and gentlemen, President Trump is the unifier. He got Nikki Haley on. He picked up the phone and called. It's going to be a historic presidency. Absolutely. Sir, thank you very much. And we'll get back together in the future here in the coming days. All right. Mike Crispy, live at the RNC, about to kick off. This is night three, day three. J.D. Vance will be taking the stage. I'm going to tell you this right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm offering this up as we wind down. I got just a few more moments here. And I want to recognize, because we have, you guys stepped up. I mean, be inspired. Be inspired. If you believe me, that there's power in us with a $1 bill, it's not that much out of our pockets. And why this is important, imagine the power in we the people to purge the RNC. It's all being driven by us, this populism. This MAGA movement, you are part of a movement where a people of due process, law and order. We're impatient, but then again, we are patient, aren't we? And look at what the rewards we're getting as a result. Look at the rewards that we're getting as a result of our steadfast resolve. Now it's time. Let's turn the corner. Let's bury them. I'm telling you, this goes to LFA, let's support LFA. You can do it. If we have thousands of people rotating in and out, everybody puts up a quick buck, that's thousands of dollars. That's the power in us. It pays the little bills. We're not, you know, Jeremy Harrell's a very humble man. No debt, humble, you know, beginnings, of course. His hard work from the sweat of his brow, wanting to build walls. Right? We're all rallying together. God centered. You heard Mike Crispy. He's on our network. One of the best political analysts and contributors to the MAGA movement right here on LFA TV alongside Roger Stone here on LFA TV. I want to recognize Clee Sully for the $200. Thank you. Patty Vest with $200. Got to do it. Patty, putting up a buck and 199 other $1 bills for the other people that are just figuring this out. Rico with a $50, the piggy squealed Rumble Ranch. Ladies and gentlemen, we collected. Imagine, just with a small group of people that kind of picked up the slack, we were able to pay the light bill, whatever it is. The power in us. Let's grow strong. Do it in small increments, but everybody participating, okay? Just remember this. What President Trump is going to, I'm telling you, this is the new unification we're calling for. They can go get all their money from big corporations. President Trump's going to kick their tail with $5 to $20 donations. That's right. Night Girl, $66. By the way, not a dime from this. This is going right into the LFA kitty. All right? LFA TV. That's what we the people are supporting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to, as we conclude here, how many minutes do I have? I need to fix my clock. We got 3 minutes here. 3 minutes. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, these are blessings that are coming. Terrorist attack on the grid before the election. Somebody's saying, you can't predict such a thing. We can't. All we can do is gather information. Sean Ryan brought some very, very, very important information. Patty, you're out. Pie, you're out. $20. Here you go. Love you, Pete. Look at that, you guys. See, this is, you guys be inspired by that. When somebody's given 20, just remember, it's $1 for them, 19 for the other people that are just sitting there. Just waiting to figure it out. Don't wait. Just feel good. Step up. If I said on the count, all right, let's do this. You ready? From now, we got 3 minutes to go. Everybody, $1 bill. Everyone, right now, the people hearing my voice, you throw up $1,000 easily with a $1 bill. Ready, set, go. As I speak our way out. You ready? $1. That's it. $2. They tried to ruin his reputation. He overcame that. He did. This is from Ben Carson. They tried to bankrupt him. It's an attack on us. We support him. They wanted to take him down because he is responsive to us. Rico, $5. Paul Revere rides. Look at that. Jay Singles, $1. That's what I'm talking about. You guys, practice that. $1, $1, $1. Go. They tried to put him in prison. He is free. And a lot of other people are freer as a result of that, too. Ladies and gentlemen, they tried to kill him. They tried to kill him. And there he is at the RNC, alive and well. We are blessed. He's humbled by this. He knows where it's coming from, okay? Because he's a smooth, smooth operator. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take it all away. We got 30 seconds. You can do it. $1. There you go. Arrow pink. $1. Throw it up. $1. $1. That's $1,000, $1,300, $1,500 easily. Thousands. $1. $1. Let's do it. We the people coming together. I'd rather have $1 million coming from 1 million people with a $1 bill than $1 million in a duffel bag handed to Jeremy Harrell and they're telling him what to do and say. Sean Farris coming up. Everybody stay tuned for an exciting day 3 of the RNC convention. We'll provide more coverage tomorrow. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. for the best morning show anywhere, PeteLive.tv. You can find us at 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And, of course, back tomorrow for the best show on the best network on LFA TV, Santilli Report. Bye, everybody.